Hello, bees. That's what you're called now, by the way. Surprise. This is Curly, and it's been a while. I'll give you that. But we're back. And we are back with a fantastic interview with Eleanor Gray about the Left Coast Sherlockian Symposium. It is a brand new event. It is in Oregon. It's going to be beautiful and amazing. There's going to be a seance. But I'm going to let her explain all that. But for now, I just want to let you know about some things happening in Baker Street Babeland. If you haven't heard, we started a Facebook group. It is called 221 Be Here, and it is an inclusive Sherlockian group with a very strong sexual harassment policy. And we are basically trying to create a space where people from all sexualities, genders, ages, everything can feel welcome. We are very strict with people who can come in. We don't want anyone to feel like they are threatened in any way. And we are very proud of that. And yes, so please come join us. You can find it through our Facebook page at Baker Street Babes. You can go to bakerstreetbabes.com. There's a link there. Or you can just search for 221 Be Here and you'll be able to find us. Also, if you're going to be at San Diego Comic-Con this year, you can join the Great Sherlock CC Scavenger Hunt. We are back for another year. It's going to be amazing. Like, the prizes last year were great. We have so many more this year. Our list of sponsors is through the roof. It is ridiculous. Definitely come and check us out. It only costs $10 to join the scavenger hunt. It goes from 6 p.m. on Wednesday until noon on Sunday. Winners are announced at 12:30. And it is so much fun. You will make friends, you will make a fool of yourself, and all the while you'll be getting great swag and just having like a really great Comic-Con. So if you go to www.sherlockedcc.com, that's sherlockedcc.com, you will find all the information about the hunt, pictures and videos from last year. You'll be able to sign up, see our partners, see the prizes, and yeah, it's gonna be awesome. Without further ado, here is Eleanor Gray.
They call us the irregulars, but baby, we're always on time. Baker Street babes always leave the rest of them behind. So in Scotland Yard, they send you home, you feel like you're losing your this quotidian world has got you crying. Won't you 221 be mine?
Welcome to the Baker Street Babes podcast. I am here with the amazing Eleanor, as always. And she's been on the show before, but in case you don't know her, haven't listened to the episode, or remember her, how dare you, can you please introduce yourself and tell us who you are in the world?
Hello, it's so good to be on again. I've missed talking to you, and I'm really excited to talk to you today. My name is Eleanor Gray. I am a writer, a Sherlockian, a solitary cyclist. I have written a couple of essays and for various books, and I have written some pastiches, both fan fiction and published for money. I am currently the editor-in-chief for the Johnny Twatson Society's Watsonian, and I am the director for the Left Coast Sherlockian Symposium.
Which is what this podcast episode is all about. So I guess just sort of started off, what is the Left Coast Sherlockian Symposium?
So, I'm so glad you asked. I moved to Portland 3.5 years ago from London. And before I lived in London, I lived in Baltimore, and I was a member of Watson's Tin Box, and I attended one birthday weekend, and I have attended 221 BCon several years. I think I've missed one the year I was in London. And when I moved to Portland, I was looking for the same kind of Sherlockian camaraderie that I was found on the East Coast, and it is fewer and farther between over here, mostly because the states are much bigger and the people are farther apart. So I am a member of a local group, the Blue Carbuncle in Portland. I'm also a member of the Seattle group, the Sound of the Baskervilles. And as a member of the Johnny Twatson Society, which is based on the West Coast, I sort of decided I wanted there to be a West Coast convention of some kind. I had been to the Scintillation of Scions in Baltimore, and I went to Sherlock Seattle, which happened a couple of years ago, but has since sort of gone on an indefinite hiatus. So I was waiting around basically for somebody to start a West Coast convention for me. And at a certain point, reached the understanding that I was going to have to do it myself. So I talked with a couple of people I know locally, mostly West Coast folks, people in Seattle, people in Portland, people in LA, and sort of said, do you want to get together? Let's make a party. How do we want to do this? So I've modeled it after Scintillation and Sherlock Seattle to a certain extent, but Scintillation is a one-track programming, at least it was the time I went. So
yeah, pretty much still is.
So this is one track of programming, everybody hanging out in the same room. We've got 12 speakers, but it's over 2 days. So I've got Saturday and Sunday. And my volunteer committee is made up of people who are on the West Coast. So it's all locals trying to put this together for ourselves.
Yay! I guess, so you got the idea because there just was like nothing really out there. Why do you, well, it's a stupid, actually, stupid question. I'm like, why do you think there's nothing? Because everyone's on the freaking East Coast, it seems.
That is a big part of it. There's a lot of activity on the East Coast. It's really easy for East Coast cities to get in touch with each other. It's really easy to take the train from Baltimore to New York or, you know, it's a really long distance to fly from Portland to Atlanta. And I think it's just a lot easier for East Coast folks. I think it's a lot easier for East Coast folks to just get together and spend time together, and I was feeling very jealous of that.
I mean, especially if you were like were part of that for, you know, for how many years, and like with such like great groups as like Watsonston Box, which is very inclusive, and just like a big shout out to them.
Yeah, fabulous group.
Yes. So you talked about having 12 speakers. Who are they? I know who they are, but other people don't know
I'm
who
so
they
glad
are.
You asked. Our guest list is really exciting. We have a big variety of people talking. We have some authors, we have some experts, we have people from the theater. So we have, first, should give a shout out to our favorite Baker Street babe in this lineup, Lindsay Fay. She's going to be talking about writing pastiche, and I hope she talks about The Paragon Hotel, which is her latest novel that actually takes place in Portland. And I think that will be really exciting to talk about her journey from being a Sherlock Holmes writer to being a mystery writer of all sorts.
Yes.
I also have West Coast Marvel, Sonia Featherston. Sonia's a BSI and a award-winning writer. She lives in Salem, and she is going to partner with Julie McCurris, and they are giving a talk on, they've called it Nevertheless, She Persisted, and it's about Sherlockian women through the ages. So she talks about early women who applied to be in the BSI and it's, you know, in its natal stages and were denied, and sort of how they got involved with Sherlockiana anyway. They're also going to talk about the BSI class of 1991 and how their journey from protesting in the snow has, you know, continued throughout the years. So they're going to, I'm really excited for the two of them to give us a little history lesson and our feminist history as Sherlockian women. Nancy Holder is coming. Nancy is an author, and she writes sci-fi and horror, so she's going to be talking about horror and mashing Sherlock Holmes up with genre fiction.
Vampires.
Then I have John Longenbach coming, and John is a writer, he's a playwright, and he is also going to be talking about, John Longenbach is a playwright. He has written a couple of Sherlock Holmes plays, and he is involved with the Bwahahaha group, which is a
it's such a good name.
He wrote out the acronym for me, like wrote the whole thing out, but I can't do it off the top of my head. So anyway, he's going to be talking about Baritsu and Bartitsu and the difference, and he is even going to be giving us a special demonstration. So there's going to be some action in our lecture series.
Delightful. Everyone needs a little action in their lecture.
That's right. We're going to get that right after lunch so everybody wakes up. Chris Pepper Hambrick is coming. She is another theater person. She has played Holmes twice on stage, so she's going to be talking about what makes a good Sherlock Holmes on the stage and sort of what you can look for or what to expect. and perceptions of homes and why people think, you know, certain homes are more authentic, and, you know, even if they've been gender swapped or race bent, sure, or turned into vegetables. Talking about those characteristics. Tim Johnson is coming. He's the curator of special collections and rare books and the E.W. McDermott curator of the Sherlock Holmes collection for the University of Minnesota. So he has charge of the huge Sherlock Holmes collection that they have, and he's going to be talking about his big tent theory of fandom and the way that fandom can intersect with itself in terms of scholarship. Brad Kefauver is giving a talk on continuity, and he's sort of riffing off of his Arthur continuity Doyle talks that he's given at 221bcon, I believe with Amy. And he's going to be talking about...
I think they're always on the panel together.
Yeah. They do their bit about continuity magic and funkiness. And so he's going to be talking... He's going to be expanding that into a sort of discussion of multiple universes. I think it's going to be very meta and strange. So good. Chuck Kovacic is coming, and he has his Baker Street Los Angeles reconstruction. So he's going to be talking about creating your own Baker Street sitting room, which would be very fun. Angela Masri is the author of The Jewel of the Thames. Her detective Portia Adams is a Sherlock Holmes pastiche. And she's going to be talking about young people and Sherlock Holmes, so getting youth interested in Holmes and how young people find her pastiches and then get into the original fandom, and that, like, as an avenue for creating new fans, which would be very fun.
I'm going to interject because I'm noticing a theme about women, young people, and inclusivity. How dare you?
That is so interesting that you brought that up. That is totally intentional. I designed this whole project as a catered personally to me.
I want this, so I'm going to make it happen.
I want all of these things to be about things I'm interested in, specifically women, people of color, young folks, new to the fandom. It's my intention to create this symposium as a really inclusive and welcoming space for fans of all sorts. So I want it to be I want it to be literary, but I also want it to feel warm and not stodgy. And not that I believe any of the events that exist currently are that way.
Sure.
But I just am really excited about the way that this is built to be for everyone. Whether you've been a Sherlockian since the dawn of time, or you just discovered it and you're excited about it, as of yesterday.
Absolutely. And I think now more than ever, I think that's really important and necessary. And we won't get on the tangent that everyone is probably thinking we're about to get on.
We don't need to tangent because...
We don't need to. It's not worth it anymore.
There's no need to. The Left Coast Sherlockian Symposium has a really strict harassment policy and a really intentional drive towards having a good time for everybody.
Wonderful. It sounds lovely. You may now continue your guest list.
Thank you. My guest list continues with Bruce Parker, Dr. Bruce Parker, who is going to be talking about Sherlock Holmes, Dr. Watson, and medicine in the canon. So it's a little more on the scholarly side, but he's an expert in this area, and he is a member of a San Francisco group. So he's a West Coast, he's taught at Stanford. He's a West Coaster, so I'm excited to have him give us some medical knowledge. And then Robert Parrott is coming. He is talking about whether Sherlockian scholarship can even be classified as scholarly or not. And I'm really excited to lead with that very meta conversation about what scholarship actually means and, you know, the difference between amateur and academic scholarship, and whether we're all taking ourselves too seriously or not.
Yes.
The last pair of speakers I have are Haley and Elizabeth, and they are fan writers who run the Holmstice Challenge online, and they've been running this Solstice Exchange for a very long time. They run this exchange twice a year, summer and winter, and it's a multi-fandom, or it's a multi-universe Sherlock Holmes exchange. So they're going to talk about the effort that it takes to maintain something like that, to build this collaborative project, and to just like the magic of fic exchange and what it takes to run that sort of thing. So that's your deep fandom aspect. Some fanfic writers are coming to talk to us about.
Oh, yeah.
Trading fanfic and the market, what, I don't know what it's called, but like the cultural free exchange. What am I trying to say? The barter system.
I know what you're thinking of.
You know?
But brain.
Yeah. They are going to be talking to us about the barter exchange culture of fandom, and I'm really excited about that aspect. So, that's the list. It's going to be awesome. It's going to take place from 9 a.m. Saturday, October 12th, until about 1 p.m. Sunday, October 13th. We're just going to get really down and dirty with our academia, our inclusive academia.
And it's good because it seems like there's something for literally everyone. So, like, even if, like, only a few of the talks immediately speak to you, then you're going to be listening to other talks that maybe you had no idea that you would really like and enjoy, and you're going to learn something new. Maybe, like, your horizon shall be broadened in some way. But it's very well-rounded.
That's my intention. I really wanted to offer something for everybody, touch all the different kinds of Sherlockian fun we all have, and really bring some new perspectives into this. So I don't know if you can tell from the names, but the presenters are balanced evenly, men and women. And it was my intention to get, you know, more new people who hadn't done as much presenting balanced with people who are more established and comfortable with, sure, you know, being invited to these kinds of events. So it was like, I want to be, you know, lifting up people who don't necessarily have the platform that other people do.
Which is very lovely of you. Did people apply, or was this a strictly like sort of invitation only?
It was a combination, actually. We had a couple of people in mind from the start. We were like West Coast folks. We sort of started with a list of West Coast people that we wanted to talk to. And then we opened it up to submissions, and we wanted to kind of let the community guide that in a certain way. So my hope is in the future that we get to do more of these, and they will be sort of the same, that like we'll invite some people and then we'll also have people apply. I think that's the way many of these things are run. It's like some people have a new project that they've just been working on that they like want to share, and they finally have a chance to submit it. And some people, it's like, oh, you're an expert in this field, you have a thing coming out, you're an expert in this field, you have something coming out, you have an interesting new idea, or this is something we've always wanted to hear about from you live. Let's get you in the door.
Awesome. So I saw on the Twitters that there's another sort of like event kind of planned that's sort of spooky.
Yes. Spooky's a good word.
Spooky, spooky.
So when I decided that I wanted to do this in a two-day format rather than just one day, I also wanted to have some kind of evening event that like brought people back into the room. So we're hosting a ball and dinner on Saturday night. We are going to have a seance with a genuine mystic. We have a pair of psychics who are going to come and do some genuine seance action. They're going to be, there's different ways you can get involved with that. There are going to be two events. You can opt to sit at the table with them and get really close and up close and personal with the seance and be really involved in the energy, or you can sit in the audience and sort of observe it. That's not to say that you might not become involved, depending on what the psychics start to read in the room, but there's a different, you know, you can kind of gauge your interest or participation level. And then meanwhile, while those things are going on in the other room for everybody else, there's going to be a genuine Victorian conjurer. He is a local, and his whole business is Victorian-style magic and conjuring, so he's not like a David Copperfield kind of lights and smoke and tricks kind of guy.
Gotcha.
He studied...
Not going to make a car disappear.
Yeah, he studied, like, where... Like, the history of magic and conjuring, and he's very dedicated to the Victorian period, so he's going to be a lot of fun. And then we're also going to have a tarot reader. So this is all to say that, like, we're leaning into the spirituality movement, the spiritualism that Conan Doyle was involved in. We're not guaranteeing that Conan Doyle will show up at this event, but... We don't want to close the offer, you know, we don't want to close ourselves off to the possibility.
Sir ACD in the house.
That would be fantastic, but the psychics were like, we can't promise you anything.
Like, I want Sir Arthur Conan Doyle on demand.
No promises that he's going to turn up for this party, but there will be a buffet table, so.
At least there shall be canapes.
There will be snacks. And I have been saying that costumes are encouraged but not required. So this is, I have noticed this about the West Coast groups, and maybe it's not necessary. Well, I've noticed this about the West Coast groups, is that we love to dress up, especially the Portland group, and they're very dedicated to Victorian costuming. So I want to encourage folks to come in costume if that's exciting to them. But of course, some people don't dress up or didn't put together a costume or can't get it in their luggage. So nobody will be turned away at the door for not coming in full drag. But I'm excited about the costume possibilities for this.
For sure. Is there going to be like a costume contest, or is it just for fun?
No, just for fun. At least it hasn't been raised as a possibility. We will have a raffle, but that will be associated primarily with the symposium end of this. And Margie Deck of the Sound of the Baskervilles is putting that together. So there will be a quiz, which if you participate in it, you will be entered in the raffle. So you don't have to win the quiz, but it's a fun way to play along with the game. So there will be prizes. And we will also have vendors, so you can buy cool stuff. There will be books, and each of our sponsors, we have three sponsors. The Most Noble and Singular Order of the Blue Carbuncle is a sponsor. The Sound of the Baskervilles is a sponsor, and the John and Twatson Society is a sponsor, and they will each have tables, so they will have things to buy and peruse and encourage you to join their local groups.
Wonderful. So say someone is thinking about going to this, but they're afraid, or they're just like, I don't know, maybe I won't fit in, or like it's just like, you know, daunting going to your first Sherlockian event if you've only like participated online. What would you say to them to encourage them to come, to sort of alleviate their worries?
To somebody who was worried about being in a meet space with other Sherlockians, I would say that this is a great place to try it out with a pretty low commitment. If you're a local, at least, anyway, or, well, even if you're not a local, you can meet some of the local groups and see if like those kind of people are your people. I think getting in face-to-face contact with Sherlockians is a really fun and wonderful way to get deeper into the community, because everybody, you know, you can meet a lot of people online, but I also think that the connections that you make in person, that you, with people you can actually visit with and, you know, have a drink with, are really strong and important. And I'm really excited to make this accessible and open to people who have not participated in real-life Sherlockian societies before. It will also be pretty low impact because it's mostly speakers and not a whole ton of socializing until the ball part. And even that, you could just do the seance, get some magic, have your tarot read, and go back to your room.
Sure.
I also want to mention that the ball is a separate ticket from the symposium. So we have some folks who, you know, can't make it to the ball but are really excited about the speaking portion. I'm going to be inviting the local like Edwardian group and some other, the steampunk groups, just to come to the ball, because I know some people just want to go to a costume party and have a good time.
Sure.
So if you can opt in or out to both of these sections, both of these events, and sort of curate your own experience. And the ball tickets will be available up to the door, so you can always add that on.
Oh, great. I guess speaking of tickets, like, how do you get them? How much do they cost? Et cetera, et cetera.
Our tickets are available on the website at leftcoastsherlock.com. Right now, the weekend is $80, and that's all of Saturday and the half of Sunday. It includes lunch on Saturday, all the talks, access to the vendors, and we also have a welcome happy hour on Friday night. I'm pinning down the location for that still, but I am hoping it will be in a period appropriate building. So the tickets for the weekend are $80. They go up at the middle of August to $95. So I recommend getting them sooner rather than later. And then the tickets to the ball are $75, but they include dinner and all of this entertainment. So I'm trying to make it as sort of whole package as possible while also leaving room for curation.
Yes. If you want to pick and choose what you want to do.
Yeah, it's a pick and mix of an event, but everything includes food.
Which is good, because I know we've both been to a lot of these things, and you just kind of forget about food after a while, and then all of a sudden you're like, I feel like I'm dying.
You're like, oh no, I've been to 12 panels in a row, and nobody's fed me a snack. So there is a lunch break. There's a lunch break for like eating and socializing. I also wanted to make it possible for people, because it's like just like a long series of lectures, so I want to break it up a little bit with a snack break.
Yes.
Give people actually the opportunity to talk to each other, because I don't just want it to be like, come and listen and then leave. This is intended to be a social event as well.
Absolutely. So obviously, like, this is your first year, it's your first go at it, but how have you found the process of actually putting this together? Like, if someone wanted to do what you're doing, how would they do it?
It's totally possible. I picked a strange year to do it because I'm also getting married this year.
Dun, 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 dun.
So I'm planning a wedding and this event and doing some construction in my backyard, which is to say that it's possible for anybody to do it. I mean, I don't have children, so maybe that's an extra layer of
fun. You have cats.
Fun. Yeah, I have cats. They're way less needy than children. More annoying. But it's definitely possible. So the first thing I did was I made a little plan with one of my co-organizers, Patrick. He's the chair right now of the Portland group. And we just sort of talked about what we wanted it to feel like, what we wanted it to see. It's actually very much like planning a wedding. We talked about sort of the ethos. How do we want people to feel while they're here? What do we want people to get out of it? What do we want to feel? How much work do we want to do?
That's a very valid point.
I really admire the folks who run 221 Beacon because they spend hours organizing that schedule and coming up with those panels and, you know, coordinating all of that. And, you know, they have 50 events that they do in a single weekend, and I just have 12. And so I was like, how do I make this easier on myself? One track of programming, I set the schedule. So then I went and talked to the hotel. We're going to be at the University Place Hotel. We have a room block, and we have a ballroom to use. So it's all going to be in one place. It's all centralized. Just went and talked to the hotel and said, here are the dates I'm thinking about. Here's my vision for this. I don't have a whole lot of idea yet. I don't have a budget. I don't know what I'm doing. But I want to rent your space. And they were like, cool, no problem. So you just like kind of go back and forth with the hotel. And I decided I wanted to have catering, but that's definitely not a necessary thing. But that's just another set of emails with the catering department. I'm using Wix for my website. I set up a free version, and then after a little while, I got enough sponsorship to actually buy the domain for the year. So thanks, Sherlock Seattle. Thanks, Sound of the Baskervilles, for that. And then I'm using Event B for my tickets. I might use Eventbrite next time, but it's just a free ticket site, and you can ask your ticket buyers to pay the fees, or you can absorb them on your own. So it's pretty easy to get that up and running. I'm using Twitter and Facebook to do most of the marketing. I need to go to our local newspapers and put an ad in. I've also done some ad trades with other events like 221 Beacon and Scintillation. So we've sent each other material to put in our programs. So I'm trying to reach the community that way. And I'm doing this. This is just one long ad for my symposium. So I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening. Please come to my event. I think it takes maybe 2 hours a week right now. I think it will get more as we get closer. I'm also adding on more time as we go, just like right now by doing more social media stuff, because at the beginning it was just like, I don't know what's happening and I don't have any plans, and just buy a ticket and trust me, it'll be great. But at this point I actually have information to share, so that's been more fun to actually give people a little look into the like, what's going to happen, and tell them what to expect, so they do want to buy the tickets. They're just going with it, trusting me. I'm glad that my wedding is soon, so I can get that over with to focus on this next, which will be really fun. I'm really glad I have a volunteer team. I probably couldn't do it and stay sane without them. I have a couple of people, Beth Gallego, who's the chair of the John H. Watson Society, and Margie Deck, have been doing a lot of work on the programming. They did all the contacting the people we wanted to invite. They helped me review all the applications. They sent out all the information about, like, you know, accepting people and telling them what to expect. They've been really helpful. I'm going to have people helping me organize the volunteers. Patrick is organizing the ball. So it's really has been really good for me to delegate a lot of this stuff rather than trying to take it on all by myself. And I'm really happy that I do have people who are also excited about this enough that they're going to put in a couple of hours a month to, like, pull it off the ground with me. I think that's key, not doing it by myself, which I'm terrible at. I'm always trying to do everything by myself. So it's been a good learning experience to know that it, like, does work to delegate.
Yeah, I identify with that hardcore. And this, like, not to be like, oh, this is what I do, but, like, for, like, our San Diego Comic-Con stuff and the BSI weekend stuff, like, it is, like, having a team that will work with you and, like, partners that, like, help you, it is so helpful. And this, like, sort of, like, it's kind of hard to, like, give up that control a little bit because, like, especially if, like, you created it or, like, you were one of the people who are instrumental in, like, creating this thing, it's your baby and you want it to succeed and you don't want other people to touch it.
Don't mess it up.
Don't mess up its hair.
But it's also great give guidance and say, here's what I want it to look like. Come back when you've got that. And it's really important to be able to just, like, let other people's skills take over
Yes, absolutely.
Give them the opportunity to help you, because in a lot of ways it is, you help other people by letting them help you. You give them opportunities to feel altruistic and get stuff done and get involved. If you are interested, if anybody's interested in getting involved with this and wants to attend, we do have volunteer opportunities during the event, helping set up lunch, getting the door tickets all sorted out, getting everybody's badge. If cost is an issue, we are taking volunteers to help us run it on the day.
Awesome.
And, you know, I'm even going to delegate running the volunteers somehow. Because I also want to have a good time at this, and I know lots of organizers spend all their energy putting on the event and don't actually get to enjoy it.
Yes.
So I'm hoping with my intention to actually have a good time, that will force me to give up more control.
Yeah, and that's really important as well, because I can't tell you how many times I ran that dang San Diego party and, like, I don't remember it. You're just like, oh, it's over. Everyone leave now, please. I love you. Please go away, which I've actually said, like, on the microphone. I'm like, thank you for being here. Now leave.
Yeah, I mean, the whole purpose of this is to entertain myself. So I like what I'm doing is just spending other people's money on a party that I wanted to have. And it's going really great. And I'm just inviting all my friends and we're all going to have a good time.
No, and I think it definitely is going to be one, because it seems like, because that's, like, your core mission is to have, for people to have a good time, because that's what you wanted to have, and that's, like, the experience you want others to enjoy. So I think with that mantra, it's going to be wonderful regardless.
Thanks. That ties in very closely with the Watson Society's mission, is, like, we're all here to have a good time, and that's what I really want, is people to come and enjoy themselves and feel like they've gotten something out of it and feel like they're part of this community and, you know, learn some stuff and dress up in a fancy dress.
Yay. I guess, can you talk a little bit about, like, the John H. Watson Society? I only just joined, which I feel, like, really bad about. but I did get the moniker Scully, which I felt, like, super awesome about.
That's good. Yeah, the Watson Society is really great. It was founded in 2013 with the intention of appreciating John Watson. John H. Watson Society was founded in 2013 to appreciate Dr. Watson. I mean, Sherlock Holmes has loads of societies that are in appreciation specifically of him, and this is just to sort of want to spread the love. We want to spread the love of Watsonianism. Dr. Watson, you know, is our link to Sherlock Holmes, so we want to give him his due. So the Watson Society was founded in 2013 and by John Yates, and it's supposed to, the intention of that is to have a good time and celebrate Dr. Watson, because Watson is our link to Sherlock Holmes, and without him we wouldn't know what this magical genius detective was even doing. So it has about 100 members right now. It's run, the chair currently is Beth Gallego, and it's an online society, so we don't have official meetings. We don't have an official meeting point, but we try to get together at whatever events are happening, and, you know, take a picture. And we have a biannual journal that comes out called The Watsonian, which currently I'm the editor for, but there's a change in the wind, so we'll come out about that later. Submissions for that are due in February and August, so we have time to put it together, and that also is a very inclusive journal. We like to have different voices. We like to have people with more and less experience as, you know, Sherlockian scholars. We accept fiction and poetry and art, and it's meant to be a really holistic journal, really, that represents more of the community than I think has been represented in other journals in the past. We also have an annual treasure hunt that happens in August every year that's really fun. It's a big quiz. It's like usually between 50 to 100 questions, and they're often linked. So you know, you take the answer from one question and you apply it to the next question, and you go down the line, and sometimes you can hop in any time and solve forwards and backwards, but it's gonna be really fun. And so that's, I think, happened, what is that? I guess it's the sixth year in a row that that's gonna go on.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so because it's an online society, I think the engagement is lower because we don't have, like, monthly dinners or anything, but it's really welcoming and really lovely, and when you join, you get a bullpup moniker, and there are lots of ways to participate. We have an online forum, there's the Twitter, there's the treasure hunt. It's fun. It's a fun alternative to other getting involved with your local Sherlockian society.
It's a scion that can be anywhere.
It's in your house right now.
It's in your head.
It's coming from inside the house.
No, I mean, and that's great. And like I said, like, I'm ashamed that it took me so long to join. It was like one of those things that, like, I assumed that I already had. And I was like, oh, wait, no, I haven't. I was like, well, dang. Yeah, and then I got the moniker Scully, and I was like, I'm not worthy. It was like just after, like, all that stuff happened, and I was like, Scully. So it was very good. I think it was also a really good time to join. So if you haven't joined the John H. Watson Society, do it now.
Please consider it. Now. The membership is very reasonable, and you get two journals a year, and you get to be included in this really cool community, and I highly recommend it. It's also very, you know, low commitment. You just get to be part of your bull pack. I regret that.
I'm going to use that as a tagline. No, but it is kind of like a pack. Like, that's cute. I like that.
And, you know, we're just all dogs here. Oh, there's also a Slack. There's a Slack channel to join, so you can have, you know, chat, and it's great.
Super happy fun time.
Yeah.
And I guess sort of like kind of like going back to the symposium and then sort of tying in the Watsonian, like if someone wanted to contribute to the journal but has never done any of that before, what were like some of like tips or suggestions for them, especially if they're nervous, if they don't think like their stuff is up to par, etc.
I really like the Watsonian because, like the symposium, it is very intentionally inclusive, and we have taken a lot of stuff over the years that is not represented in other publications, or in traditionally, I guess, built journals of what you'd expect to be in a journal. I think journal is almost too strong a word. It's more like an anthology or a collection of essays, because it's not just essays. We also have short fiction. We've done illustrations and comics. I have invited people in the past to submit like meta that they posted on Tumblr, because I think a lot of people are really intelligent and have a lot of good things to say and a lot of really interesting thoughts, but they are only reaching a certain audience that like already uses Tumblr or only uses Twitter or doesn't, you know, participate online, or they're missing the audience that doesn't participate in the same online spaces that they use. So this journal is a really good way to cross the streams a little bit, and you know, we don't require that anybody use their real name. You can use a pseudonym of any kind. But I think it's, if a person is interested in becoming more involved in the sort of more literary, traditional, I'm doing air quotes, part of scholarship or Sherlockian life, it's a good way to kind of practice and take a
sort of like wade in.
Yeah, a small dip before you go for what might be considered a bigger journal. But it's also, in the Watsonian's defense, you know, fairly rigorous. There have been things that I've turned down for unsuitability because I don't think they fit the mission necessarily of the Watsonian, or they still needed work. So it's, you know, it's not like floodgates are open. It definitely does go through an editing process, and it's always my intention to turn out a solid, readable, interesting, and engaging work.
Awesome. Yay. So go do that, everyone. Do that and go to the symposium.
Submit to your publisher at johnhwatsonsociety.com by August 1st.
There you go.
And then visit leftcoastsherlock.com and register for the symposium, which I realized I've only said the dates once, and I'll say that again. This is taking place in October 12th and 13th, 2019, with a welcome happy hour on the evening of the 11th. So show up anytime, explore Portland, and then come talk about Sherlock with us.
Yay!
For 36 hours.
Nothing better.
Yeah, seriously. Can you imagine anything better? I'm so excited about this. I like October for this because I think it's a great month to travel. It's like kind of between major holidays. Nobody should have too much planned. It's a good time to get away. Portland's beautiful in October. Gonna be a great time.
Go check out some foliage. It'd be lovely.
Not the same leaf peeping experience as it is in Portland, Maine, but you know.
Embrace your inner 80-year-old and go check out some leaves.
Leaf peeping.
Yes. Yep. Amazing. Yeah, no, thank you so much for one, putting this together and taking such careful thought in creating of it, because I think that is just so important, especially now, and especially with, like, frankly, the majority of people in Sherlockian spaces are younger people, millennials, Gen X, whatever you want to call them, Gen Z. We are the majority, and I think people don't realize that, and I think now that, like, your event and the journal and, like, other things are catering more towards that, I think it's just very important and great, and I can't wait to see where else it goes.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be reaching this place in my, like, Sherlockian career that I feel comfortable putting this on. I feel like even if I mean, I feel like I do have a certain level of notoriety in the community,
whether that's
fame or infame.
People know your name.
People know who I am. So I'm excited to see what I can actually do with this and creating this event and making a space for people to enjoy themselves and come spend time with me and do scholarship in a way that I think that the whole community is moving towards.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you, Basil. He agrees too.
I'm so glad to get his approval.
It's not terribly difficult to get, but it is still heartwarming when you get it.
It was good.
And I guess just one more time for the people in the back or who just weren't listening, who are distracted by their pets, where can you find all this information? How do you get tickets, etc.?
All of the information is at leftcoastsherlock.com. That's left as in not right, leftcoastsherlock.com. We're still taking applications for vendors, so if you want to sell to a captive audience of Sherlock enthusiasts, please get in touch. That's under the registration tab. You can get tickets under the attend tab, and it's all there on the website. You can get tickets, you can get your hotel booked, you can sign up for the ball, you can read about the speakers and also their talks. You can become a sponsor if you want. We're still taking sponsors. So, leftcoastsherlock.com, October 12th and 13th, 2019, in Portland, Oregon.
If this quotidian world has got you crying, won't you 2-2-1?